whites, a bottle of red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead.
Hey, we're back on Downtown. It's time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joins us. Good day, Mr. Meehan.
You're tearing at my heartstrings right now. I'm in one of my favorite places, looking at my beautiful family skating on an open lake, listening to perhaps, I don't know, got to be top five songs for me.
I love it. Love the song. Love the album. I love that Billy Joel is back and on the Billboard charts. It just makes me feel younger, sort of.
I love that he's thinking about putting together an all-star band. I'm like, what are we doing? I can't afford tickets to anything anyway, but that's right out there. I can only hope they pull a Taylor Swift and make like a video of it in a movie so I can go watch it.
There you go. How is the skating today, by the way?
It's not so bad. Is it ever bad? Never bad. But actually, yeah, Mother Nature has seen fit to clear a good amount of the open ice. Having taken literally about 15 minutes per hole when I was augering earlier to try and ice fish, I can assure you the ice is okay. I know there have been some incidents lately other places, but here in the Branch Lake, it's pretty damn good. And they're out there. I have Greta here because her paws were getting cold. She's looking at me like, what are you doing? She's born in Puerto Rico, hates the water, but just like her newfound daddy, when water is frozen, it's like, bring it on. Oh, listen to her. Oh, Greta.
Aww.
Sorry. Soon, we'll go back out. I have to do wine talk. Speaking of which, you were recommending the Giannis documentary. I have to recommend a different documentary. It's about Nikola Jokic. It's called When Is Parade? Then We Go Home. it's about 2 minutes long.
but a captivating 2 minutes.
it's mostly him on a horse and wherever he's from, Serbia or whatever.
That sounds great.
Oh, gory. No, I have to check out that Giannis one. I've been watching a lot of sports documentaries lately, as well as I tried to watch Oppenheimer. I consider myself a student of the cinema, but man, okay. I tried. I really did. How is it I can't watch Matt Damon and take him seriously anymore? I think that's the problem.
Because he's one of the Dung Kings? Is that why?
He played the same character in Oppenheimer as he did in like the Men Who Stare at Goats or whatever, as he did in whatever other movie. It's like, now I think it's a comedy, but it's not because it's about the end of humanity. Moving on, Natural Wines, which is not the end of humanity. In fact, it might save humanity. This month, abrupt shift, by the way, abrupt shift. But I only have so much time with you all before I have to get back out on the ice because it is calling to me, and obviously Greta. So Natural Wines is our topic today. What does that mean? What does that mean? That's exactly my point these days, is that we are in an era of natural wines being a buzzword. So I just kind of want to go over what natural is to me, natural is becoming, et cetera, et cetera. This is where we talk about organic. We talk about biodynamic agriculture. We talk about something that is called lutte raisonnée, which is shockingly a French term, as so many of the wine terms are. But just to understand that natural wines these days are popping up just everywhere, from legitimate wine articles, wine journalism, et cetera, to, you know, health-conscious blogs that have no idea what it is to, you know, what we did last week or maybe 2 weeks ago because of Valentine's Day was the life cycle of wine. A lot of these people have no idea what that is. And you do, because you're a frequent listener of Rich Kimball. So when we're talking about what it is to mean organic is a way of doing agriculture. It is also a certification, right? And the USDA has a certification for organic agriculture. European Union has a certification for organic agriculture. Are they the same? No. And if you want to sell in one region or the other, you're going to pay for the different organizations to certify you. And they, of course, have the same regulations, right? No. So there's a lot of people who choose to farm sensibly in line with nature that don't seek out organic certification. There's other reasons. We'll hit those too. But just understand that to be certified organic, either in the EU or here, and there are other organic certifying culture organizations in other regions, but they're not quite as important. And here's the thrust why. Because if you're farming well and naturally, and you're selling all your product already, you really don't need to get the extra thrust in sales from trying to appeal to anybody who's solely seeking out a little, you know, mark on the back of your label that says that you're certified organic by whichever certifying body that may be, which is totally cool. But organic also is eschewed by some people because to be organic means that you can still use certain chemical compounds, most notably copper sulfite, for killing mildew, that a lot of growers don't want and a lot of regions don't want, most notably people like, for instance, if anybody's ever visited Oregon, and I know a lot of you probably have, they have a program called Salmon Safe, which tells people don't spray copper sulfite, amongst other things, because it gets into the groundwater and poisons the rivers and kills the fish, which is not salmon safe, right? So this is to say that there's no perfect form of natural agriculture, but there are imperfect forms, and some of them, unfortunately, have been codified. And so some people, like I say, choose not to go with them specifically. Another term you're going to hear is biodynamic agriculture. Biodynamism is based on an agriculture course that was taught in Berlin in 1924 by a guy named Rudolf Steiner. Rudolf Steiner is also most famous for inventing the Waldorf schools of education, if anybody knows those. But biodynamism, I really can't say that today, can I? Is sort of based on holistic tenets, right? That the entire farm that you have and the entire region as a whole is connected holistically. Bees and spreading pollen and a multitude of crops and a multitude of little bugs that are crawling around and aerating and eating things, and then animals that eat those, and it's a whole system. And if any one of those things is interrupted in any way, again, especially on purpose, again, spraying chemical fertilizers, things like that, to kill, you might be doing damage that you don't intend to do and thereby hurting your entire crop. So he was preaching these things that sort of predated organic, the term organic, et cetera. But he also had a lot of more interesting ideas in terms of And these are things I believe in, but some people may think it's a little, you know, silly. But planting within, cycles of the moon, doing sort of restorative holistic practices, including herbs and feces and other stuff that you plant in the vineyard, all sorts of things. But frankly, the results in the bottle are very real, and it is, you know, you're assured if something is certified biodynamic, which in Europe they do have a certifying body for that, actually two now, that they're ultra pure and sort of, you know, there's nothing to question there. The other method that I mentioned was called lutte raisonné. Lutte raisonné is essentially this French term which basically said we're going to do everything we can possibly do naturally, but if we have to do something, if you will, invasively, we're going to do it quickly, right where we have to do it, deal with the problem, and then get out. Much like you'd consider surgery on a body that, you know, you basically take care of yourself, but oh my God, sir, you've got a, you know, a, a little problem here. We're going to go in. We're going to fix it, and we're out, and you're good, and go on with your healthy life. That's basically lute raisonné, if you want to look at it that way. So these are all sort of things to think about when you're out there looking. And then just really quickly, natural wines. This idea of natural wines means, are you fining? Are you filtering? Are you using things maybe in the cellar or not and in bottling that are going to clean up the wine? And that's not always a bad idea to clean up the wine. There is one thing to bottle things unfined and unfiltered. There's another thing, depending on yeasts used and stuff, to make it maybe a little more volatile. And some, quote, natural wines, even though they are made in these natural ways, are a little more funky. And I question some of their quality, to be honest, as a wine merchant who's been around a couple decades at this point. But just something to talk about with your favorite merchant, just like everything we talk about on this radio show every week. And that said, I will talk to you next week about sulfites, fining, and filtering, and other stuff people worry about. And until then, everybody be well, and I'm going to go strap on my skates for a sunset skate. Oh, my goodness. How lucky are we to live in Maine, folks?
Doesn't get much better than that. You and Greta get out there and put on a show.
Dan Tootin.
All
talk
right.
to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Eric. Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle here on Downtown every Tuesday afternoon.